Can a guy adore Jesus?
Absolutely.
Is there anybody, is there any men in here that adore Jesus? I worship you, Jesus. I adore you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. You are my Savior, my King of Kings, and my Lord of Lords. And I do adore you. And so do the rest of the men in this place. And so, men, can we get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to church, everybody. God bless y'all. Can't let the girls out praise us, guys. We just gotta be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have to put on the whole armor of God that we stand against the wiles of the devil. Some people don't want to admit there's a devil, but too bad for you. You need to know that because that's what the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the wiles. He's a slickster. He knows stuff. He's been around a long, long time, so he knows stuff. But we have the supernatural wisdom of God on the inside of us. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're filled with God in your heart, then you have the knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And therefore, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will show to be in the wrong. You'll show it to be condemned. Welcome, everybody. God bless you. I'm Pastor Steve. We're grateful to have you. Thank you, teammates. You are excellent musicians. Ladies, you are excellent singers. And family of God, you are excellent Christians. Amen. Excuse me for a moment. Sorry. Why do we sing songs? Because they stay with us. And if you, for instance, maybe you've not read your Bible much. And if you haven't, I got something for you. No, but if you haven't read your Bible much, the songs stay with you. And we sing the Word of God. And so when we sing the Word of God, I mean, the power is in the Word. The power's in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. So the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pull down strongholds, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the Word of God. So I want these things to be just flowing in and out of me, coming out of my mouth. You have to open your mouth. You have to declare what you believe. You have to stand on what you believe. You have to resist the enemy. And when the enemy comes at you with temptation and lies and criticism and attacks, you just speak out what you know. Sing to him. Sing songs like we sing here. Sing the word to him. He won't stay. Not because you can't sing, because he didn't like the words. So, amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the musicians. We thank you for the singers. We thank you for the saints. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence, your goodness, and your manifestation. The Bible says that, Father, you said in your word that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit withal. It means to profit everybody. So, Father, we're believing God for the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst right here, right now. Whether they're here now or watching with us, we welcome those. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the work of the enemy, the evil one. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. He came to earth to win the battle, to win the victory, and destroy the work, so that we can enjoy the Son of God. And we can dispose of the enemy, destroy, defeat, and show him openly, triumphing over him in it. Triumph, 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 triumph. Winning, 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 winning. I'm going to refrain from going to the Super Bowl to talk about winning. That was enough of the Super Bowl for anybody that, there's many of you, we'd love to talk football, but we will refrain here. One of the most important verses in the Bible declares the Son of God destroyed the work of Satan. He destroyed it. Now we are in that neutral place of, do I lean on God, or do I lean to the world, the flesh, and the devil? And I choose, you choose, we choose. We choose to lean on God. We choose to lean on his word. We choose to put God first place in our life, to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in our inner man, strengthened on the inside by the Spirit of God. So, being the Son of God, destroy the work of Satan. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed. I don't know any judo or karate or martial arts, but those guys are good at disarming somebody, whether it's a kick or a punch or a block or a chop or whatever it is. They know how to disarm someone that may come at them with a weapon. And we know that Jesus disarmed the enemy. He took the weapons out of his hands. He took the weapons out of his power, and he spoiled principalities. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed and spoiled principalities. Spoiled is an old word for taking the prizes, taking the goods, taking the money, taking the gold, taking it all back from whoever had it. You're spoiling them. You're pulling it all away from them. So Jesus, what he did was he spoiled. He went into the pit of hell, and he took and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And after 3 days and three nights, he rose from the dead, and he stood triumphant. He said, "I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave." So that you could walk in victory, so that you could say no. You could say no to whatever is challenging you, whatever is defeating you, whatever is kicking your butt, whatever is strong on you. You can win that because Jesus already came up fully victorious. He took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he stood victoriously and open. And for the universe to see, he spoiled principalities' powers. It wasn't just in our church. It wasn't just in downtown Minneapolis. It wasn't just in Minnesota or the United States, but it was in the world. It was in the universe. The universe is a witness that Jesus Christ spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He won the victory, and the whole universe, the whole family of angels and whatever other beings there are in distant planets and distant solar systems, I believe that stuff because you know what? God is so big. As big as he is, he loves you individually and personally, and yet there is a family of God throughout the universe. And who knows? I can't wait. I'm going exploring. When I get there, I'm going to worship God for 1,000 years straight, and then I'm going exploring. And I'll come back and I'll worship God for another 1,000 years straight, and then I'll go exploring to the ends of the universe. I'm going to go exploring. I want to see the stuff. I want to play the tape. I want to play the tape when he created it, when it happened. I want to see it. Boom. It became Jesus. God spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. And everything came into existence. And I get to see it. You get to see it. We get to see it. Not gonna sit on a cloud and go, happy, happy, joy, joy, Christian, Christian, Christian. No, man, we get to enjoy the victory. To spoils. He said he shares the whole kingdom of God with us right now in Jesus' name. Having spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he made a show, a spectacle of them triumphing over them. Why? Because the devil sinned from the beginning, not the very beginning of his career. Not the very beginning. He was the anointed cherub. He was very high ranking, very privileged. Very loved, very, very loved. Lucifer, the Father said, I love you. You're so important to me. And Lucifer backstabbed him. He backstabbed him, and he led a rebellion. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. And God said, I'm going to throw you down to the pit, and that's where you'll be. For all eternity. All eternity. There's no redemption for the devil. No redemption for the devil. So make sure that if you're here today or you're watching, the most important part about the whole story is that you would be a believer in Jesus Christ, that you would be saved, that you would have the testimony of Jesus Christ by having the courage to speak out loud in whatever setting or forum you may be in that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I bow my knees to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to say that, but I do. I bow my knees to the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in his heaven is named. At his name, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, my Father, my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I believe it in Jesus' name. All right, so when he disarmed and spoiled those principalities' powers, he made that public spectacle of them, and he triumphed over them. Jesus made a show, and the enemy sinned from the beginning, and from the beginning was, he was the anointed cherub. In Ezekiel 28:14, the Bible clearly defines him as the anointed cherub that covereth. So he had authority. He had a place in the kingdom of God. He was one of the sons of God. The Bible calls angels sons of God. He was one of the sons of God. And God says, I have set thee so that you were upon the holy mountain of God, and you walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Some had suggested that the stones of fire are the runway to God's throne. In the midst of the stones and fire, you had the privilege of coming boldly to my throne because you were the anointed cherub, and in heaven you had privileges as one of my children, one of my sons, one of my angels. And so he walked amongst the stones of fire, and I have set thee so. You were upon that holy mountain of God. You came up to my throne on a consistent basis. The book of Job says that when the children of God, or the angels of God, came to come and give their roll call before the Father, there was a consistent roll call in heaven. It's just like the military. You know, you stand in your place, and you know, if there's roll call, you say, yes, sir, I'm here. And whether or not that still functions that way or not, I don't know. But seemingly from evidence in the scriptures, it says that he would show up. But now when he shows up, he would show up as the accuser of the brethren. He shows up as the enemy of our soul. He shows up as the devil, as the deceiver, as the Satan, Lucifer. He is the enemy of God, but he still gets to show up before God. I don't know. If I were God, I'd say, get the heck out of here, and I'd kick him right back down to hell, but God still loves him. Seriously, Lord, you still love him? God loves all of his creation, but there's a day coming when he will put him in his place, and he will be chained and bound. Not for 1,000 years, forever and ever and ever. So he'll get his. It's unfortunate that he doesn't get his right now. But so in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, John 1:1, but not the beginning of God, not the beginning of the Son of God, not the beginning of the Holy Spirit. They have no beginning. Tilt? That's a tilt for me. They have no beginning. The beginning of the iteration called the age of man is just a blip on the screen of history. God has no beginning. They, the Trinity, have no beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Satan does have a beginning. He was a created, faithful angel until iniquity was found in him. I said that, 1 John 3:8. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. At the beginning of his career, he was a faithful angel named Lucifer. Found the stories in Ezekiel 28. It's in Isaiah 14. And I already mentioned the things that he was speaking to God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So, for this purpose, again, was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Because Apostle John said in 1 John 3:8, he that commits sin is of the devil. I'm not going to be identifying with the world. I'm not going to identify with anything they say, choose, or do. Right. Now, hey, man, we all lean in, you know, football, hockey, baseball, basketball, sports for me is, you know, pretty close to the world because you mix, you rub shoulders and you love all the stuff that goes on. But you know, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And I don't have a problem with sports. So if we could talk sports, if you want to talk sports, we could just, you know, maybe put chairs up here and just talk about the Super Bowl. I don't even care today. Normally I watch it, just don't care, but it'd be kind of cool to put it on the big screen. And anyways. All right, so Apostles, 1 John 3:8, he that commits sin is of the devil. Unfortunately, we all sin. He who practices sin, it says practices. The New English Translation, the English Standard Version, New American Standard 95, the Darby translations, they all say practice. Practice sin. We're not ashamed and we're not afraid to talk about sin in here because we are the children of God. We're anointed of God. We have within us the strength of the Holy Spirit to resist all sin. There's nothing. I don't want any excuses from anybody. I know that if we stood up and said, I got this problem, I hear you, but we're not going to glorify weakness. We're not going to glorify problems. We're not going to glorify sin. We're going to glorify God, his power, his ability, and to win. We win. Having done all to stand, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having helmet of salvation, having your feet shod with preparation of peace, have your loins girded about with truth, and taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and standing. What do you do? Well, I got these issues. No, you stand. Having done all, stand against the enemy, stand. You've got the power, you've got the spirit, you've got the ability. You can't say, I can't, I quit, I'm a loser, I'm for eternally a loser. No, you're not. You've been bought with a price, the victory is yours. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are free. Yeah. And don't you ever say anything that I'm bound by perversion and pornography and being weird. Shut up. Don't tell me to shut up. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Pray always with all prayer and supplication. Pray in the Spirit. In this church, we pray in the Spirit. We're grateful to be able to pray in the Spirit. For when I know not what to pray for, say that. When I know not what to pray for, the Spirit himself makes intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jump to the conclusion. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's interceding for me according to the will of God. I've got the Holy Spirit inside me interceding for me according to the will of God. I might not even understand at this moment, particularly in details, these details, what the will of God is, but he's interceding for me according to the will of God. Therefore, what things so have you desire? When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Ask that your joy may be full. Praise God, man. The word works. Word works. Some people are winning. Some people are winning, and some people are just being kicked around like chumps. Don't call me chump. No, I'm not calling you chump. I'm saying we have many winners in our midst. I'm grateful for a body of winners. We don't come to church to hear us say, oh, that's okay, you little pervert. We just don't care about, we don't care about all the weird stuff that you do every time you're by yourself. Hey, we came to church to get strengthened with might by his Spirit in our inner man. And then I take that and I go home and I read my Bible and I get strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not going to yield to the beggarly elements of the world. I'm not going to be defeated. I will not be defeated. No, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus, I've been loosed from Satan's grip. Sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How old is everything? 3 years. Some people say our time, that's how old stuff is. But I'm fascinated with the astronauts because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he created the moon. And the Bible says God has no beginning. The Trinity has no beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word was with God. So how old is it? NASA reveals data suggesting artificial structures on the moon. The lunar rover, I mean, you guys have heard, this is really old, but I'm just fascinated by it because something triggered it recently. Something was on or something, and so, you know, I was digging into it again, but NASA reveals data suggesting that there are artificial structures on the moon. The lunar rover vehicle, LRV, was designed to transport astronauts and materials on the moon, and the LRV was used on each of the last three Apollo missions a long time ago, Apollo 15, 16, and 17. The lunar rover vehicle in 1971 and 72 was used to permit the crew to travel several miles from the lunar landing site. This photograph was taken during the Apollo 15 mission. NASA's methodology in analyzing the data is rigorous and comprehensive, but suggests the data is consistent with the presence of manufactured objects on the moon. Manufactured objects on the moon. Manufactured, built. It was built. It wasn't built by astronauts. They were bouncing around in spacesuits taking one leap for mankind. They didn't build anything. There were manufactured objects on the moon. What does that tell us? Something's been going on for a long, long time. It means that the universe is incredibly old, and there's a whole lot of history. There's a whole lot of history. Let me just read a little bit more. This is a Christian told of what happened. He was ordered, and he's a good soldier. They're in the military. They're soldiers. And he was ordered. He couldn't say anything. But NASA's methodology in analyzing the data is rigorous and comprehensive. The suggestion of artificial structures is not made lightly, but based on patterns and anomalies in the data that are consistent with the presence of manufactured objects. The specifics of these patterns have not been disclosed, but confidence in the findings are clear. Military officer astronaut Charles Duke, now a born-again Christian, has said, "I was forbidden to tell my story about what I saw on the moon. I saw structures on the moon." A born-again Christian is telling you this. He's come to the end of his life. He's in his 80s. And he said, "I couldn't tell it because I was loyal to my government. But now, because I'm going to go to heaven pretty soon, I no longer am going to keep it secret because they're telling stuff. They're telling stuff. The people, you know, the military are telling stuff. I'm going to tell what I know." And he said, "I saw structures on the moon." This is a brother in Christ saying it. "Artificial structures that were covered with moon dust, suggesting that their ancient age became because the moon had no atmosphere. There is no wind to blow the space dust off, ancient in terms of eons of time or longer ago. The moon was active as though someone was there," he said. Listening to him is the most, I'm going, oh, Lord, I love this stuff. Because he was not limited to the Earth's atmosphere and the presence of the enemy. He was in the glory, and he was sensing this. And most likely, I didn't hear him say it, but I don't think he was afraid of a drop because the presence of God was so strong. What an incredible experience that he had. He said he kept this secret for 50 years simply because of loyalty, of his trust, and having no explanation for it. He was loyal. You know, I'm going to take sidebar right there and ask you, are you loyal to anybody? I mean, I know most of you are. You're good Christian people. and you're loyal to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you're loyal to the Word, and you try to be loyal to come to church and do those things. You try and be loyal to your boss at work. You try and be loyal, not because he's a good boss or anything, just because God said to be loyal. So we're loyal. We're loyal to our spouses. We love our mates. We love our brothers and sisters. We love the family of God. We're loyal. Long before Adam and Eve. Someone just has to not freak out because I'm going to say this. You have to consider it. Is that long before Adam and Eve, the morning stars sang together. Job 38:1 said the morning stars were there with God celebrating God's creation. Who are the morning stars? The angels. The angels were all loyal to God back then when God decided, hey, we're going to expand this thing. We're going to have a party. We're going to create beings all over the universe. I believe there are beings all over the universe. I don't really, you know, want to get into an argument with anybody, but it's too big of a universe to not fill up. And so when the morning stars in Job 38, the morning stars sang together. It meant harmony. There was a time when there was perfect harmony. There wasn't spiritual warfare. There wasn't the devil. He was fourth in command. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Lucifer. And he was loyal. And he came, the sons of God, the Bible says in the book of Job, came to present them before God on a consistent basis. It was roll call. They showed up for roll call. Report to me. I'm the Father. Here's the Son. Holy Spirit, report to us what you've been up to. And there was a day when Lucifer came after he had fallen. And God said to him, have you seen my servant Job? And you know the story. Lucifer, Satan says, touch him and see what happens. We know the story. I won't go to Job. But wisdom. Long before Adam, the morning stars sang together, clearly referring to the angels of God. Wisdom is speaking as personified in Christ, tells of the time in the distant past, ringing with harmony. Ringing with harmony. Proverbs 8:23, I was set, speaking of wisdom, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or before the earth ever was. To Job 38:4, where were you, Lucifer, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. No, actually, he didn't say it to Lucifer. He said to Job. He asked Job several questions, then reveals the fact of history long ago before you, Job. Hey, Job, there's a history you don't have a clue about. And we're just getting inklings right now about the eternity past and eternity future. Everybody here believes in eternity future, but to consider eternity past, that's a mind bender, but nevertheless, it's there. God didn't just appear. God was never born. God has always existed. The Son has always existed. The Holy Spirit has always existed. Excuse me. King Solomon understood. Golly, King Solomon understood all this without data, without a computer, without TV, without Netflix. Solomon understood. Solomon said, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God, the work that God does from beginning to end. We have no clue. That's why you're so critically important. That's why you are so important right now, that you would serve God without evidence. The rest of the universe has all the evidence. They've got evidence, tangible fruit to prove all of the things I'm saying to you. But you, my friends, are taking it by faith. You are believing it because the Word of God tells you. You're believing it because Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're believing it because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're believing it. You've sold out to God. You go to church. You serve God, live by God, because You've taken it by faith. But the rest of the universe, the beings in the universe, they know God. We know him by the word of God. We know him by the Spirit of God. We believe the word of God. Christians, this is truth. This is eternal truth. The Bible will be the truth a zillion years from now. The Bible will still be the truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. The Word of God. So why wouldn't you invest? Why wouldn't you learn it? Why wouldn't you find, why wouldn't you have 3, 5, 7, 10, 12, 15, 20, 30, 50, 100 favorite verses? How can we get you to open your Bible when you're not at church? How can we get you to believe that you're going to spend eternity? God's going to celebrate you for eternity. He's going to say, see those? They're the ones. They took me by my word. They believed my word. They had no evidence. They didn't have any evidence. The evidence, faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. They took it by faith. They believed me by faith. They saw it in the word and they believed it. They believed me that I'm good. They've seen tough things in the Bible. They've seen tragedies in the Bible. They know that some stuff, I don't want to be a part of that. But they trust that God is good, that he's the head and not the tail, that we're the head and not the tail in Christ. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in this city and we're blessed in the field. We're blessed in our homes. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So he asked Job several questions, and he reveals facts about history that was long, long ago. Here, Ecclesiastes 3:11. I don't like this. I mean, I like it a lot, but there's some things about it I don't like because I want to tell you what I don't like. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Spiders? They still freak me out. I mean, you know, I can step on them and chase them out and put one in a jar. And I was, when I was a printed circuit board designer at Honeywell, they brought in some, they did some incredibly complex designs. And so they had to bring in some machines from Salt Lake City and in Arizona. And the machines that I brought in, or they brought in, when I would looked inside, there was a black widow spider in there. Yeah, I opened the door of one of these panels, and there was a black widow spider up in this web, right? And he's alive. And so I went and got a pickle jar, and I took a ruler, and I stuck it in his web, and I flicked him down into the jar, and I put the cap on it and popped some holes in the cap. And so I had a black widow spider that was alive for quite some time, right? And then one of the engineers came in, oh, wow, can I go show that to my people? And he never brought it back. He never gave it back. How dare he take my black widow spider? God thinks spiders are beautiful. Creepy, man. That ain't the creepiest thing there is either. Some people I know are creepier than black widow spiders. King Solomon understood it. That's why it's fascinating. That's why Proverbs, Ecclesiastes is fun to read. Because he understands things that people still don't understand. And if you want to get inside information, the easiest place to read your Bible is Proverbs. It's a one-liner. And you could have a one-liner that you could write down and put in your pocket and walk around daily with a one-liner And just look at that, and until you memorize that one liner, just keep it with you, one line of the Bible. And pretty soon, you can quote that one line. And then you move on to another one liner from Proverbs. And pretty soon, you go to the New Testament, and you start putting one liners in your pocket, and you go to work, or you get up in the morning, and you look at your one liner, and you start saying it, and you're memorizing Scripture. And pretty soon, I know three of them. Then I know five. Then I know seven. Then I know 10. Then I know 12. And then guess what I can do? I can quote verses. Yeah. And then I can talk to the enemy. You can talk to the enemy now, but it's better to talk with the sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Talking with the sword of the Spirit. What's that? Quoting Scripture to the devil. He took my infirmity. He bore my sickness, and by his stripes I was healed. That's a great one for if you don't feel good today. If you're at home and you didn't come to church because maybe you don't feel good or you're whatever. He took my infirmity. He bore my sickness, and by his stripes I was healed. Say that, and say that, and get well. Somebody say amen to healing. Amen. We believe in healing, divine healing, power in the word. God doesn't come down and tap you on the head. You know, somebody believes some. People believe that, but he just sent his word and healed us. And he delivered us from destruction. Hey, if you live downtown, you're afraid to go outside because trouble on the streets. He sent his word and he delivered you from destruction. He delivered you from terror. He delivered you from fear. He delivered you from people. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm not arrogant. I'm just a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I put God first place. He's faithful. God is faithful. Isaiah 40. Oh, we're talking about spiders. I got it written here. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time, even spiders. Also, he's put eternity in their heart. Who's they? He's put eternity in our heart. If you will step out in faith, eternity will become reality to you. You go, I'm an eternal being. I'm eternally with God, or I'm eternally separated from him. Don't be eternally separated from God. Humble yourself, repent, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Serve God for the rest of your days on this earth. When you get to the other side, whether it's by the rapture of the church or whether it's by dying, whatever the case may be, and you enter glory. And the Father says, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Strong in the Lord. Whoa. Isaiah 41:26, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and the former times I've got a challenge. Some Christians might get mad at me. Former times, to me it means there's a lot of history before Adam, a lot of history. To me, billions upon billions. What it means to me is that if you go far enough back that way, I don't know, I don't understand. But Solomon did. Solomon understood. He put eternity in their hearts. He put eternity in your heart. Do I comprehend it? Do I have the processing power in my brain to comprehend that? Man, I'm telling you what, these astronauts that were on the moon and all these guys, the stuff they understood and the brain power, how brilliant these astronauts are. I just go, whoa, there's some amazing people. And yet, in God's sight, in God's presence, they're just humans. But God has put eternity in our heart. And that means that between here and there, we're going to get that download. I don't know how the capacity, I don't know how it all works, but we're going to get the download. And we'll spend eternity with our Heavenly Father, with our Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with the saints. And let me tell you something, you guys, I'd rather be with you than to be with those bars at night out there.
Yes.
Some of us have tasted and seen that world ain't good. I mean, you can persuade yourself that, oh, a drink and a smoke and some weed and a squeeze on the side. Man, that's world. That's living, man. Some of us have tasted and seen that we were miserable in that life. Misery, misery. You know why it was misery? Because we were raised in a Christian home. We're raised in a Christian home. We know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, that there's a God in heaven and there's a devil in hell, and I'm not serving him right now, and I'm a miserable human being. But I repented of my sin, and I asked God to forgive me, and he forgave me, and he cleansed me of unrighteousness, and he put a robe on my back, and he put a ring on my finger, and he killed the fatted calf, and had a celebration that the prodigal son came home. Some of us can identify with that. I'm not the prodigal son, but I identify with the prodigal son. I identify with the grace of God. I identify with the goodness of God. I identify with his mercy. I would not have forgiven me. Well, you know one thing I did? Because I was raised a Christian, I never insulted God when people would be around insulting God. Never, because I had respect. Never insulted the Bible. Never insulted Christians. I had the fear of the Lord. Even in my sin, I had the fear of the Lord. Because I said, there's a day coming when I'm leaving you and I'm leaving that life on First Avenue and I'm leaving this world and I'm going to join up with the church. I never knew I'd be a pastor. I thought God would never use me. I got nothing to say. I got, you know, what I do know is I know some scripture, Jack. I know a lot of them by heart. And you know how you learn scripture by heart? You get in the Word. You know how I learned them? Writing them down and writing them down and writing them down. That's how they told me as a kid when I was bad in class. Write it 10 times, write it 25, write it 100. I will not disrespect. I will not make noise. I will not. I said, okay, I learned that. Now I will. And I wrote the scriptures down, and I can quote a lot of scripture because I wrote them down, and I meditated on them, and I got them deep in my spirit. And now when I need them, I can remember them, and I can quote the scriptures. So if you took my Bible away, if the Antichrist comes and took away our Bibles, and he's going to do it, Antichrist is right on the horizon right now. And if you aren't saved and you end up in the world with the Antichrist, all Christianity will be slaughtered. Somebody goes, I don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Because the Bible says it in the book of Revelation. And you're going to have to run and hide if you stay for the tribulation. If you're not saved now, and Jesus comes in the rapture for the church, then those that are left behind will have to hide for 7 years from Antichrist, and they'll come searching for you. You think these people in the streets are mean? They'll knock down the doors and to get you, Christian. Thank God that you're in the church, and the church leaves. That's why we need to pray. That's why you need to pray for your wife. You need to pray for your husband. You need to pray for your parents. You need to pray for your son or your daughter. You need to pray for your grandchildren. You need to pray for your friends. You need to pray. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. There's a difference. Don't argue. There's a difference. Pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding. Time to get over the petty differences. If you're out there right now and you don't know if you want to believe what I'm saying, there's a difference to pray in the Spirit and to pray with understanding. One is in your mind, one is in your heart. You pray in your mind, it's in English, and it is from your heart. But when you pray in the Spirit, it's coming up out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, which should be given. And he gave it. And now Christians have the Holy Spirit. When I genuinely confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me, cleanse me of unrighteousness, and he gives me the Holy Spirit to live in me and to help me to be an effective Christian for the rest of my existence on this earth. I don't need the power of the Spirit in heaven. Holy Spirit's everywhere in heaven. I'm with him in heaven. I am there and participating, and we're rejoicing, and we're enjoying the grace of God, the favor of Jesus and King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're there. I need the power of the Spirit here. I need the power of the Spirit to resist temptation, to walk in the Spirit, to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. It's just another thing to put up your dukes and say no. Where's my clock? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Isaiah 41, I read it, but who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and former times that we may say he's righteous? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. Apostle John knew who Jesus was best. He knew him best. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always existed. John said so. Just believe it. Quit arguing with the Bible. All things were made by him, by Jesus. And without Jesus was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness is doing its job. Darkness hides stuff from you. Darkness doesn't want you to know. It wants to pull the blinders over your eyes and keep you bound up. Maybe keep you addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or sexual perversion or a whole list of things that we could go down the list, but those are the majors. God wants you free, whom the Son has set free. But that doesn't include pornography. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You need to walk around start saying, I'm free, even if you're bound to the hilt. If you're bound up, say, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's my confession. Confessions of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. I want a good report, so I want to be in faith. I don't want to be a doubter. I don't want to be kicked around by porn and perversion and wimpy, weak, carnal living. I'm a victorious Christian. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm not arrogant. I'm just saying what I believe. And don't criticize me because I'm saying what I believe. It's called faith. Faith says what it believes. It speaks the desired end result. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. There are mountains in your life that you need to start talking to and saying what you believe. Well, I'm just not sure people would approve of it if I did that. What'd you just say?
I said don't say it in front of them. Say it in your private time.
Yeah, make your confession. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody till you're strong enough in Christianity and the Word to back it up. If you start blabbing that and people go, well, show me in the Bible where that is, and you can't, that's not a good testimony. That's not a good witness. Hey, let's talk about that for a second. What time is it? We got a couple minutes. We got a couple minutes here. Hey, don't try and preach to the word to people and then not be able to show them where it is in the Bible. Yeah, well, that's besides the point. But John 3:16 is the first place you need to know. Everybody in this church should be able to say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you can't say John 3:16, get up off that thing and get busy with the Word of God. I'm yelling at a lot of people today, but I'm yelling at myself. Listen, I hold myself to standards that none of you understand some of the standards that we hold ourselves to. And it's not braggadocious, it's just she is tough. And I'm tough. I'm tough when it comes to the Word of God. I get the Word every single day. I won't miss my opportunity because it's my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Who is the Lord? He's the Word of God. The Word is the strength of my life. I am strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. All right, I'm having fun up here. I'm having too much fun. I do not want to quit. I don't care. I don't care. You're going to cut me off. I don't care. I don't want to talk about the Super Bowl, even though I love football. Look at how many colors I got on that page.
That's beautiful. Your coloring is excellent.
Each color means something, each different categories. But are you taking over?
Sure.
I love you guys. Hey, if I yelled at you too much, cut me some slack. We'll whisper next time.
We need it. You know, every once in a while, Pastor Steve will have one of those really mellow messages where he just is very, very not raises his voice at all or anything. And anytime that happens, I think there must be someone who really needs it just very soft. It's not that he changes the message that he gives, but every once in a while, his presentation will be very mellow. But most of the time, it's not. Well, it seems like as the voices in the world have gotten louder, sometimes it's the only way that God can get through to us. Because we want what we want. We like what we like. There's only a certain... Okay, I'll just do a little raise your hand thing. How many of you love change? You just like to try new things all the time, and you just love to change. Anybody in here? Like two people plus me. Two people raised their hand plus me. That means the majority of people like it the way they like it. When Pastor Steve and I first got married, I'd try to go grocery shopping. And he'd have a list, I'd go with the list. I could never come home with everything on the list because I don't follow lists very well, apparently. But he'd want, get this kind of barbecue sauce. And I'd see something on sale or something that looked good. And I'd come home with this kind of barbecue sauce. I mean, barbecue sauce is barbecue sauce, right? No, definitely not. His version of grocery shopping is every single aisle, up and down, look at everything, take your time. I just fly through, grab what looks good, and go home. And if I miss something, which I always did, go back. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing. But God wants us out of our comfort zone. We need the Word of God. That's the bottom line. No one is exempt. God created us in his image. So what God does, why did Jesus come to the earth? To show us how to do it. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest to destroy the works of the enemy. He did it. Now we follow in his footsteps and we destroy the works of the enemy in our own life. We're enforcing. Right? Jesus did the work.
We're the enforcers. You gotta start seeing yourself as an enforcer. The devil's defeated. Do you really want to get to heaven and find out that all the things that you thought were such a big deal in your life that you didn't think you could get over? It was just like this little imp of nothing that was already defeated. And you were just letting them run your... I mean, that would just be so embarrassing. To me, you know. Like, no, man, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The devil's not going to get over on me. He might take a shot here and there. But stand up. Be who God created you to be. Speak to the mountains. They're eventually going to move. The mountains will move. I'm telling you 100%. I've moved some mountains. God has moved some mountains, but I've had to do my part in speaking, taking the word of God, believing the word of God, stepping out on the word of God by faith. That's it. That's how he designed it. We get to walk it out. And the more you do it, the more victory you have. And then the more victory you have, the more victory you want. It's more fun to win, isn't it, Luther? Who wants to be a loser? A loser. The big L, is that right? Did I do it the right way? I don't know. I can't do it backwards, so I'm not sure which. Is this the right one or is it this one? It's this one. Okay. See, we don't want to be that. We want the big W all the time. Because he paid the price for us to have it. And he gets the glory. That's what's so cool. Is you know it has nothing to do with you. You're just thankful to him that he opened your eyes to see the truth in the word and to hear the truth in the word and to have the common sense to learn how to put it into practice so you can walk in it. That's all the grace of God. That's all the grace of God because he loves us so much. What I think is so awesome, you realize how vast the universe is. God said, let there be light. He never said stop. We're going to rule and reign with him. So there's all this vast everything. And yet he knows the numbers of our hair on everybody's head. He knows our ending from our beginning. Like we're so incredibly special to him. And we're so unique. Like where else could you put all of us together in a room except for God? We're so unique. We're so beautifully and wonderfully made. And we want to know him. And we want to serve him. It's a privilege to be in the kingdom of God. And it's so easy. And if you're struggling, you know, like a lot of people, you first come into the things of God. Maybe you've never heard any of this stuff before. And you just had a lot of religion in your life, but you didn't really have any relationship. Everything's new. And you're like, how do I start? Just start. Just start. Let God take you by the hand and just start. Find a scripture. Personally, my favorite is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because that covers everything. That covers you can exercise when you know it's good for your body and you don't feel like it. It covers getting yourself out of bed and doing the right thing and going to work or going to church or whatever. Like I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love the people that are nasty. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can forgive people because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like that scripture covers everything. So that's a good one to start with. But find whatever one you want. Find whatever one you want. And just get it in your heart. And then do it. Say it. Your feelings will follow your speaking. Your thinking will follow your speaking when you're speaking the word of God. Well, I don't feel like I'm healed. Duh. Right? If you're sick, you're sick. Of course you're not going to feel healed. What does that have to do with anything? You're not denying that you have symptoms. You're choosing instead to speak your faith over your symptoms. So you're not lying. You're just choosing to speak the truth. Every circumstance in life is subject to change. Your wayward wife or husband or whatever, kid, grandchild, subject to change. Fractured relationships, subject to change. Crazy finances, subject to change. Sickness, disease, subject to change if you'll become a doer of the word. Not one of us landed in whatever situation we're in our life overnight. So the word of God takes time. That's where our scripture, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. I hate patience. I saw that in the scriptures when I first became a Christian. I'm like, oh. For you have need of patience after you've done the will of God. Well, there's disconnect number two. You might have great patience, but you are not doing the will of God. Patience, time, will of God, do. You will receive the promise. It's guaranteed. And there are lots of people in here that have received the promises of God. And probably everybody in here still has some promises we need to walk in. Amen? Because it's a journey. We just keep going. You just don't quit. That's the whole thing. Just don't quit. Starts with asking Jesus into your heart. And so let's just pray this prayer all together. If you need to recommit your life, start over. Everybody gets to have a do-over today. Old things pass away, all things become new. Father God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that he went to the cross. He paid the price for my sin, past, present, and future. Jesus, come into my heart. I declare, I need a Savior. I want you, Lord, to be my Lord, not just my Savior. I surrender to you. I surrender and I submit to your word. Help me, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll receive the morning's offering, and, you know, giving is just part of the kingdom. We give because he first gave. And it's an opportunity for us to participate in kingdom finance. When I first heard the word on giving, I thought, I need that. I want that. God can help me. Sign me up. And I thought, well, I spent a lot of money before I became a Christian. I spent a lot of money out in the world. I can surely give money to support the gospel. What a better return. What an awesome return. Use your faith. When you give and you're consistent in your giving, then you can expect God to meet your needs in abundance. He said he'd open the windows of heaven for you and pour out blessing, that there's not enough room to receive it. But the first part of that is, number one, don't rob God. Number two, give him 10%. Tilt. If you put God first, he's so faithful. He's so faithful. And you can ask him to prove himself on your behalf. He will. My life is a testimony of it. Pastor Steve's life is a testimony of it. If we ask for hands, which we're not going to do, But if we ask for hands, there's lots of people who would raise their hand in a heartbeat and go, you know what? God has met my needs even when there seemed to be no way. He's made a way. And this whole church is a testimony of God making a way where there seems to be no way. Because I am telling you right now, with us right in here, there is no way except for God that we would be in a place like this. This is days of miracle. Don't shut God off from doing a miracle in your midst. Do what's in your heart. Be a cheerful giver. Because if you're going to feel like God's extracting it out of you, that's not quite the right attitude. Get in the Word. Find out the promises. And then when you do give, make sure it's with a cheerful heart. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. We purpose in this church to use every single penny to further your work, to further your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of everyone in this church, meeting the needs of this church. And Father, for the ministries that we get to support as a church, as a congregation. Father, we pray that their needs would be met and the people that support them would also have their needs met. God, thank you for you and how you set things up that as we give, it's given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you, Lord, for abundance and no lack in Jesus' name. Amen.